This is episode 47 of the Mentoring Developers Podcast. Welcome.
Welcome to Mentoring Developers, the podcast for new and aspiring software developers, where we discuss your struggles, anxieties, and career choices. And now, here's your host, Arsalan Ahmed.
Hi everyone, today I'm bringing you Kevin Mack. Kevin is a developer, he's a designer, and he's also a consultant that focuses on creating user interfaces and user experiences for websites that need to scale. So he's quite unique. He's also a co-founder and co-organizer of the Columbus Web Group, which is a very active user group where he participates in growing and educating the community. But he's focused on design, development, best practices, and web standards. So I'm really excited to have him on the show and to give you a very different perspective from the other shows that we have had. And I hope that you learn from his experience, and I hope you enjoy the show. Here's Kevin Mack. Hi, everyone. Today, I have a repeat guest. His name is Kevin Mack. And Kevin is a fantastic guy. I've really admired him from a distance for a long time. But there are some exciting things happening in his life, and I think those would be really valuable for us to know. It looks like he is moving up in his career, going from a UX or user experience practitioner to digital solutions, some sales, some creative director work. It's some interesting mix of activities that I'm not so sure what that is all about, but that's definitely a path for somebody who is maybe just a designer or a developer or a user experience practitioner. I just use that word. There are ways of moving up the ladder, the corporate ladder, instead of just becoming a manager. That's interesting. And he's really involved in a lot of activities. So welcome, Kevin.
Yes. Thank you for the introduction. And I can provide a little bit of clarity to my work and really how I got here without going too far into detail. But it's been since the last time we talked, it's been an interesting, I guess, year that's gone by. And I feel like everything that I've been involved with in my career and education, whether that was from myself or being mentored by other people, learning from other people, has kind of come together. So my new role is definitely a really exciting one. I would say it's kind of a dream come true that I get to really focus on the creative side. And with the creative side, I'm not just talking about the visual design side, but the creative thought. So trying to think outside the box, as well as innovation from a technology standpoint. So trying to bring creative thought from a both design as well as technology standpoint for our current clients that we have and hopefully future clients. With all of it, I still get to keep my hands dirty and design and develop and work on a lot of strategic vision for our company as well as for the clients that we have. So I get to still develop, still get to design and work really closely with my team members from a production standpoint. So I felt like I was going a little bit too much in detail there, but do you have any questions on that?
Right. I think for people who don't know you yet, or maybe they haven't seen or they haven't heard your earlier interview. So you are Kevin Mack. Describe yourself. Who is Kevin Mack?
That's a tough one. I started web development in 1995. And before that, I grew up in a household of art. So my mom was an art director at the Washington Post. So grew up around art and around 95, became heads down on the computer and kind of brought my love for art and design into what later would be my future and my career on the computer. So from there, as I said earlier, just tried to learn as much as I could, picked up as whenever a new language would come out or I'd become aware of one. I would try to learn it, and my whole thought about learning different things was focus on one thing and focus on that until you get it right and you truly understand it, and then move on to the next thing. So not trying to learn 50 things at once, but really having a more limited scope at the time. And once mastering that, moving on to the next thing. For my career, I've kind of jumped around different ways from being everything from a print designer to a web designer to a front-end dev to an architect to a UX team member. So really had a lot of great opportunities. I was even head of digital marketing at a corporate company, just another kind of list inside here. But I played every role from designer, developer, project manager, a tech lead, a design lead, and worked in different industries from being on the client side to agency to consultant, even ran a few companies on my own in between. And the last thing to probably throw in there, I'm heavily involved with the community, and I believe education should be as inexpensive, if not free, as possible. And the people that have the knowledge should be sharing it with other people. And with that, my buddy and I started Columbus Web Group about 3.5 years ago. And that was kind of our mission, was to provide free education and to inspire people that come to our meetups or our workshops that we put on.
That is a lot of different things that you have done. It's a big list of all the different things you have done and you worked in different capacities. And it almost seems like you're switching. I'm not going to say switching careers, but you're switching fields in a way. But I think that my guess is that that's not how it feels to you.
Right? No, not at all. I definitely feel like it, you know, from the people that I've surrounded myself with and the way that they've inspired me, those little like informational nuggets that you get have kind of evolved and have helped me just grow to where I am today. And the different roles that I've been in and the different opportunities that I've had come into play almost every single day. So really understanding the technology side from a design perspective is really important, but understanding the design side from a technology, did I say the same thing? But from a technology standpoint, understanding design, and from a design standpoint, understanding the technology is really, really critical. And every single day I'm in conversations about setting design budgets, tech budgets, designing around the platform or creating or designing around our scope. And without the full knowledge of the different spectrums, I don't think I could do that or do it as accurately as I probably do today. And one of the other pieces of or lessons I'd like to tell people is there's a huge difference between knowing what something is and knowing how to do it. So I encourage people to try to go out and learn as much as possible, but not necessarily knowing how to do it, but what it is. And the big difference is when people try to get in the weeds and how do I do this? What are the specifics of this? They don't end up learning it and learning, or they end up learning it, but it takes too long and their mind is focused on too many things. But knowing what something is, as opposed to how to do it, you can apply your knowledge of what your team members are doing or what that technology or design aspect is to help it better your knowledge of whatever the tasks or skills that you're doing.
Okay, so we talked about something, and what caught my eye was the fact that you mentioned focus. Focus on one thing and stay with that thing that you're trying to learn, and don't try to learn too many things. I've heard this from other people, and that's really interesting. However, in the context of web development, I'm not sure. If you're starting out, you kind of have to learn a whole lot of things to get started. Don't you think that?
Yeah, I would say the net has to be a little bit wider in the beginning. And the big if you're getting started in web development, why that net should be a little bit bigger in the beginning isn't necessarily, there are a lot of pieces to learn, and over time you have the opportunity to learn them, but it's really to identify which aspect of the, you know, the development spectrum that you want to be a part of. Because when someone says, I'm going to get into development or technology? Do they want to develop video games? Do they want to develop websites, native applications, desktop applications, create hardware? So there are a lot of things that you can go into that are full-time career, but identifying it early on and that eventual focus, I think that's why in the very beginning, the net can be a little bit larger. And of course, the traditional ones can kind of pair together. So if you say like the HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, you should learn all three of those at the same time, but then really focus on, am I going to be more on the UI side? Let's do a deeper dive in the CSS. Am I going to be more on like the application architect side and building single page applications or anything that deals with JavaScript, being heads down there?
Okay. So learn the basics first, get your bearings, and then specialize in one thing, get dive deeper until you're really comfortable, then see if you need to learn something else. I think that's really good advice. I am thinking about the different roles you've played in the different organizations you've been a part of. And I was just wondering if you liked one thing over the other better.
That's a tough question. I can tell you, this is going to sound horrible, and there's different, maybe not horrible, but different people like different stages of projects. And with that, I've always really enjoyed the beginning of projects. So typically a project has a discovery where you're doing the research, you're removing assumptions, you're bringing clarity to it, you're planning out the solutions and putting the requirements together. And then that initial kicking off of the project and making it come to life and setting the cadence for the team and the pace for the project. I really enjoy that aspect of it. And that's probably my favorite thing to do, or the early stages and that initial kicking it off. It's the middle of the project I don't really care that much for. It can be not boring isn't the right word, but that's where my mind kind of goes. So for lack of a better word, I can be bored in the middle piece of it. And a lot of it is because it can be repetition or on revisions. You're iterating through on this something that you feel like could be done, but it's taking a little bit longer. So that's kind of a back way to answer your question. But my favorite, probably if I had to say a favorite piece, it would be focusing on the UI architecture and how you're going to build something to scale even without knowing the requirements.
Okay, so earlier you were, before this position, that's what you were doing day in and day out. You were designing user experiences, UI elements, some coding, right? This is exactly the type of thing you enjoyed. But after a while, obviously, it does limit your career to a degree. So if you need to grow your career or move forward in your profession, you need to move up the ranks a little bit. And normally what that means for people is that they will be managers, maybe become tech leaders or team leads, something like that, and over time become a manager and then maybe a director, maybe a vice president, something like that, right? That's the general career trajectory that I have seen as being the most common. In some other places, you can take a more of an architect level position, so you're a senior technical resource on many different projects and you don't become a manager. But in your case, you did something a little bit different. I've never seen anybody else do this, and I think it's a testament to the organization you're a part of. I know that they really appreciate you. I see you at so many conferences, and you're doing so much work for them to bring in business and bring in talent. And they have appreciated that, and they've made you head of digital solutions, which is, and you told me that's a creative director type position, but you're also doing some sales. That's pretty interesting. How did that come about?
That's a good question. I'll give you the short of it. So the organization, it's really fantastic. So Cardinal Solutions has been really supportive in my career and every employee that we have at Cardinal. And we're a flat organization and we're all about organic growth. So those two terms may not be something that the average person or someone even in this industry may be familiar with. But by flat organization, it means that everyone's working and everyone's a part of the delivery or the sales cycle and everyone's working. So no one's just a hired manager. Your skills come into play. And if an idea comes up, it can be from someone that's been at the company for 2 days or 2 years or one of the founders. Anyone can bring and suggest change. And the company is always open for these types of ideas and always looking for new opportunities to grow and change and adapt with the time. So that's what's really cool with Cardinal Solutions. But in addition to that, we're organic, meaning we never hire on like 20 people to fulfill the needs of a project. Maybe in rare cases that does happen, but we're all about bringing on people at a slower rate because we want to make sure that our company from a financial standpoint and from a growth is stable. So that organic growth can be kind of painful for, you know, people like myself that are trying to grow different practices or offerings and capabilities because I can't hire 10 people. But why it's really nice is it means our company is just stable and safe. So I bring this up because this idea about digital solutions was something that was cooking in my head. And after being a part of the UX practice and helping the practice grow, I got what I referred to as one of my itches and was looking to do something more. And I called up one of our founders, and a week or two later, he came into town because he wanted to hear more. And I pitched the idea of kind of this in-house digital solutions division inside Cardinal. And he liked it a lot and talked to the other founders. And 2 weeks later, I get a phone call that said that I was going to be doing it. So it was really, it's kind of like I got to make my own job, but having the support and input from other people. And because the organization allows for anyone to bring up an idea, you can do that. So that's the really cool part of this. But it was kind of made up and having the support from the company to do this.
I think that the point that I can take from this that I think all of us, all of the listeners can take and apply in their own lives is that sometimes the best way to help yourself or help your career move forward is to take initiative. Think mm-hmm. about where you want to be and aim for it. Instead of waiting for somebody to do it for you, try to make it happen. In your case, you were successful because your management was helpful. In some other cases, this is not going to be the case. Mm-hmm. But I think that taking initiative does help. At least it shows your bosses that you are interested in something. So if there is any way that they can help you, and if there is any opportunity, any other opening in maybe another department somewhere else, they might think about you, right? If you verbalize your needs or where you see yourself growing, I have seen this happen. This happened to me also, where subliminally, really, I haven't really expressly tried to get somewhere in the corporate structure, but I've just been vocal about what I think about things. And oftentimes this has led me to leading projects and doing things like introducing automated testing and unit testing and talking about best practices and teaching people, mentoring people. A lot of mentorship opportunities that I've had are not because I asked for it. They were given to me, but that's because I keep talking about it. So if you talk about stuff and if you know what you want and if you have strong opinions, people generally want to back you up because they want you to succeed. Because if you succeed in an organization, that place is also going to succeed.
That's all very, very true. And I know throughout my career, as my career expanded and more experience, more confidence came with the territory too. But I was always confident and always willing to share my thoughts, whether or not people may like it. I just didn't hesitate to do it. But anytime I shared it, still trying to, you know, making sure that you're being respectful to others and making sure other people's voices are also being heard. But it's probably, I wouldn't be where I am today or even where I was previously if I didn't speak up when I felt like I needed to. And it's funny, I never really think that much about that. But a lot of people say that, at the end of the meeting, they're like, they'll even joke, be like, oh, Kevin didn't talk that much during that meeting.
So I think you're just being yourself. And I don't think we're advocating people to fake an interest in a topic when they don't have it, right? Mm-hmm. We just want you to be yourself. But if you're somebody who's interested in software development, no matter which stage of your career you're in, you should be able to find things that move you either towards it or away from it, right? You will have topics that will either inspire you or, you know, you'll be disgusted by it. So either way, you will have strong opinions. And I think that's going to shape the path you will take in your career. And it's always good to have those opinions. If you're a blank slate and your answer to every question is, sure, I'll do whatever and anytime, anywhere, I'm not sure that's the right approach, because then you're probably not reaching your potential. There are some people who are really good at database access because they work, their minds are sort of mathematical and they work in a certain way, and they're really, really good at devising clever strategies for data access and, you know, SQL queries and procedures and all that stuff. And some people are not good at it. So I think if you find yourself in a place that you are maximizing what you're good at, then you'll probably go very far. And if you're really good at one aspect of software development, then you certainly need to know all the other aspects that are required to take this project to fruition and to find and to actually get the job done. But you only need to be really good at one thing. That's what I've noticed. Because most real-world projects have multiple people working on it. Having said that, there's also this full-stack developer movement, which is great. If you're working by yourself, then obviously it's good to be good at everything. But I think what do you think, Kevin? I think that it's hard to be good at everything. Yeah. You can get by, you know, you should know enough that you don't need somebody to help you just finishing your day-to-day activities. Obviously, if you're a desktop developer or you're a web developer or a mobile developer, you should be able to start and finish, but then you can focus on the thing that you can do really well and double down on that. Once you do that, people are going to appreciate you more, right? And they will understand that you're not good at something and you're better at other things, right?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I would say there was a huge shift maybe in the 2011 time period when especially things like responsive web came out, and then looking at really the change in ECMA 2015 and ECMA 2016 from a JavaScript side, the need for specialty people and people that align in a vertical is becoming more and more of a thing. And why that's happening is the technology under certain verticals is getting more complex, when in reality it's not getting more complex. People are just identifying the best practices and the way to use it and relying on front-end technologies as opposed to just back-end. But because of that, these jobs, that like a front-end UI developer, is something that the full stack developer just used to do. And yeah, everyone knows HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. But now that UI developer that is working on responsive solutions, building out custom interfaces, is in high demand. And then looking at the other side of the spectrum, the JavaScript side, it's the MVC or MVStar frameworks are huge right now. And that's just looking at the front end. The two different roles that are there, the back end, I mean the front end, like JavaScript versus CSS, are very, very difficult to understand and keep on track of all the trends that are happening. So every day new technology is coming out, or a new spec comes out, or a new version of a framework comes out, and you have to be aware of it. Keeping track of it is very, very difficult. But the front end's one side, the back end is a whole nother side. And the back end's a little bit more stable, and I would say in the past couple of years, maybe PHP's had some of the biggest movements, and then with the move of Microsoft into open source and some of the things that they're doing, has been a bigger change, but for the most part, it's been a little bit more stable, but it's a full-time role. And again, it's still really nice to know what those things are, but how to do them is very hard to fully grasp. But when it comes to a project and looking at the full stack developer, if someone is doing the front end and the back end, and say they're also doing the design, those are at least three roles that it should be split up. And one person doing it is actually going to make it be a very like waterfall approach, because you can't literally do two things at once. And at times you're delaying the project just because you can do it, as opposed to working with people to do it. And when it's one person doing it, you lose out the benefit of my favorite thing, which is collaboration and pairing with team members. And that's where some of the best ideas happen, are working with other people. Now, I'm not insulting the full stack developer. It's just a very challenging role. And I do know some folks that can be full stack developers and are really amazing full stack developers. But when it comes to projects that I worked with them, I feel like majority of the time they're on individual roles. And when there are those individual roles, it's nice because they know the other sides of the spectrums and verticals.
I think another benefit of focusing on one area of specialty, obviously nobody expects somebody to do the same thing over and over again and not know anything else, because software development doesn't happen in a vacuum. You have to collaborate. But if you specialize on a narrow subset of software development and you kind of do it again and again, every time you do it, you get a little bit better. It's like being a carpenter or being a woodworker. If you build your first table, it's probably not going to be that good. But if you, every time you finish a table, you start another one, the next one is going to be better than the last one. Well, you will have exceptions, but invariably, over time, you keep doing the same thing, you're going to be a very good table maker. You may not be a very good bed maker, but you'll be a very good table maker. And that's a valuable skill to have. I think that repetition allows you to compare, gives you the data points, right? If you have done the same thing 10 times, then you know what works and what doesn't work. Then you're a valuable ally for a company, maybe a consulting company or another company that needs something built, but they need somebody who really knows their stuff in that one thing, because maybe for that project, that one thing that you're an expert in, or you've done it 50 times, that one thing is critical. And they want somebody who has seen everything. And you just can't put a price on that. This is so invaluable, which is something that's, I think, missing in our world, because most people know a little bit of a lot of stuff, including myself. I'm not saying that I am that expert, but I think that's something to aspire towards. So... go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's really, really good stuff. I feel like you brought your A game today. I've been sitting here shaking my head. Yeah.
And I know that you have been involved in a lot of stuff. I mean, I can't even keep up all the things you do. I don't know how you find the time. So you're involved in hackathons. You told me that you are also a mentor at Startup Weekend. I know that you run some web groups, meetup groups. So Columbus Web Group, you're a part of that. And not only that you organize it, but you're also, I've seen you give presentations. And, you know, you're giving conference talks. You're going to be at CodeMash, all that good stuff. So first question is, how do you manage your time?
You know, I wish I had a really good answer for that. That is one of those pieces and parts that I'm continuously trying to get better at. And if there was one thing in the many lists of things that I can do, I would say time management is one of the places where I'm kind of lacking or have room to improve on. I sleep very limited hours, which is not necessarily good long term. And this year, I told myself that I was going to get at least 6 hours an evening. Before this year, I was probably averaging around 3 hours. And I realized that that's just not a sustainable lifestyle. Throughout this year, I've been booking my calendar, and, you know, it may be difficult to align with me to schedule time to meet up just because I'm involved with so many different things. But I even book out time for myself now and making sure that I'm keeping my head on straight. Big thing that I take advantage of the tools that are available with so many different moving parts and going in all different directions. Tools like Reminders and Siri, that's kind of, I see it as my own little personal assistant. And calendar and Reminders is what keeps me on track. But time management is it's a difficult one. I one of the things that does help me is putting on headphones and kind of shutting off the world, being heads down for a set time period, depending on what I'm working on. Maybe it's 2 hours and I'm not talking to anyone or even getting up for a new glass of water, just cranking through it.
I think time management is almost like a black art, because I think you get into the groove, you have a good day, and then you're like, huh, I can repeat this, and then I can repeat this. Again, it's the same idea that I talked about earlier. If you have successfully managed a good day, then the next day you can try to repeat it and get better over time. So it's a skill that you can have. But I think that the real reason behind your ability to do all these things and actually be involved in everything, my feeling is, yes, that you are sacrificing your sleep for that. But I think the real reason you're able to do that is that you're really motivated to do it. You really want to do it badly. And that's what really surprises me, because I don't know anybody else who wants this so bad. So why do you want it so bad?
I appreciate that. I'm just really passionate about this entire industry. I've always been a problem solver. And when I got into web development, it was a hobby. It was what I did for fun, started a few little businesses. And then before I realized that my career was taking off, and my hobby and what I did for fun was my career. And I tell people when they're thinking about their job, especially people that are in that sophomore to getting into senior year of college, or the 3 years out of college age group, or even people looking to switch their careers, that every day I want to wake up doing what I want to be doing. And a job to me isn't just getting a paycheck, but it's a job to me is a job that you don't realize is a job. Like, you're getting paid to do what you want to. I don't consider the amount of hours or the work that I put into community or in the office even to be work. It's just what I like doing. It's what makes me happy. And I tell people just to wake up and, or imagine waking up. What is it that you want to do every single day? And go find that job. And the days that, you know, you're going to have different organizations are going to be different than others. But if you realize that your job isn't making you feel passionate anymore, that's the time where you need to either reevaluate where you're working, or maybe some of the other aspects or different jobs inside that company, or even consider switching your career and what you're doing. So I've just always been passionate about what I do, and I've loved every single moment of it. Even the crazy 36 straight work hour days that I've been through a couple times in my life.
Wow.
It was always fun.
You have to appreciate, and I think our audience appreciates, the passion that you bring to this trade. It's not something that everybody can do. I'm not sure if I can do it, but I can appreciate it, and I can empathize with your need to and your desire to succeed. Obviously, you're sacrificing a lot. You're sacrificing entertainment. You're sacrificing sleep. And you're doing a lot because you want to succeed. You like what you do. A lot of people like what they do and enjoy what they do, but they're not willing to give up what they need to give up in order to achieve it. Well, that's good. So that's something that we can take inspiration from. And it's not for everybody. If you can hack it, if you can do it, by all means. But don't think that you need to sleep 3 hours to succeed. You may not be able to do all the things that Kevin is doing. But it just brings me to all the things that you're doing, which is, you told me that you are doing some workshops at a hackathon. What's a hackathon?
Yeah, hackathons are one of my favorite, I guess, events to go to. So depending on the setup, and there's a handful of them here in Columbus, the ones that I've been involved with are Startup Weekend, and that one's a national event, and different cities have their own Startup Weekend. We have what's also referred to as Give Back Hack, which is similar to Startup Weekend, but it's about creating something for the good of the community. At one point, there were Civic Hacks. That was people coming together and having one final product at the end. And then there's Hack Ohio, which is an OSU event, which is the hackathon. But typical setup of a hackathon is a group of people, and it can be up to 200 people that come together for a weekend. The Friday night, it starts with pitches. So if you have an idea for a product or something that you want to create, you pitch it to a room full of people. At the end, people vote on which topics or products they like, and then teams form. And then from as early as that Friday night, some people get started working and forming their teams. It's typically from Saturday morning all the way through Sunday. And you don't have to stay overnight. Some people decide to do that. But it's about just forming a team around an idea and getting a wide range of people from different backgrounds. A lot of the people you would never know. And you become friends at that weekend. At the end, on the Sunday, you then do final presentations. So the teams present what they've come up with in the week. And it doesn't even have to be like a technology piece. It can be just maybe packaging, or it could be a new business that isn't technology based. And you present your idea to the group, and some people try to put prototypes together, but at times it's just more about the idea and then being able to answer how it would work and what it will do. And then at the end, a winner's picked, and sometimes it's monetary, sometimes it's some other awesome prize that team members win. But for me, it's one of the most inspiring weekends. So seeing a team of people that didn't know each other a couple days before, working heads down and dividing and conquering, and seeing how quick ideas are formed and coming together. And given the limited time there, it's basically about 24, 36 hours, and some really great products and projects have come out of it. It's just really inspiring to see people work so quickly and so closely together and the time strain that they have.
From a point of view of somebody who's just starting out, maybe they've worked on a couple of projects on their own, or they just graduated from a boot camp. And they're like, okay, I know how to do, get around. Like, I know how to build a simple website because that's what I've learned. But I'm not sure if I'm ready to do any real work. I go into a hackathon, I go into a startup weekend event, and I might feel out of place. I might be like, I don't know if I belong here. Maybe I need to have many years of experience before I can go to these events. What do you think about that?
No, I would say that they're very open up to anyone. So at the events, and typically I've been a mentor at the events. And as a mentor, you're there as a supporting role to help the teams keep them on track of making sure they're buttoned up for that Sunday. But someone that's looking to learn, it's the best place to be, because you're surrounded by other people and with wide range of backgrounds and knowledge. And it's the best place to try out something that you've been wanting to do and to even build portfolio pieces. So one of the hardest things in the industry is getting your career started. And a lot of times, whether you're a designer or developer, it's like, what have you worked on? And it's that chicken and the egg. It's like, well, I'm trying to get this job so I can have a portfolio to show you. But the hackathons become a really great location or space to try new technologies. And it's a really safe zone for anyone to go there. And it's supportive by the people that attend these events. So I would highly encourage it. It's a great spot.
So I want to know your opinion on which technologies or frameworks, programming languages, or whatever set of technologies you need to know if you want to get the best chance or maximize your chance of being in a group in a startup weekend event or some event like that. Because I have my opinions on this, but I want to know what you think, because obviously not every skill is valuable. Most of these projects tend to be web-based websites or something, maybe a mobile app. And there's a certain set of skills that would apply to, you know, most of these projects. And if you know, if you're a C programmer, I'm not sure if that's going to be that valuable. So if you're just starting out, you say, okay, my goal in the next 6 months or the next 4 months is to go to a hackathon or a startup weekend event and be part of a group, make connections, and do a project that can be on my portfolio, can be on my resume, that I can talk about in my interviews. That's your goal. Now you need to know what language, framework, environment should I get familiar with so I can be attractive to a group, because you have to sell yourself to a group and be part of it and be productive. What do you think?
There's two different ways of looking at the hackathon and the final deliverable. And I would say teams that excel really well in these hackathons aren't actually trying to develop the product. By that, I mean, sometimes teams go heads down and the developers in the group are in the corner and they're just hacking away, like trying to get something done. And then there's a group of people that are doing research, and then there's a group of people that are working on the deck. And when teams kind of separate out that way, they're never as successful as the teams that are working together. And the teams that are working together, it becomes divide and conquer. And instead of focusing efforts on actually building out the prototype, focusing on working with your team members on validating the idea and how it would actually come together. Because you don't get any points at the end for building out something. You get points for having a really great idea and understanding how it's going to actually operate. So once you have that completed, then if you're, as a developer, want to be heads down and hack through the night to make it happen, that's really cool. And if you can do it well, that's even more amazing. But it is such a limited time. And trying to hack through it, you miss the evolution of the project that the other team members are doing. So with the different technologies that you have, understanding and being a technologist or being an enthusiast about technology you have so much to add to the team and the evolution of the project, almost more so than some of the skills that are in high demand at a startup weekend or a hackathon. Those typical ones are your iOS developers, your front-end developers, people that develop in hardware. I would say that those are the highest in demand, as well as being a visual designer, someone that can make logos. but no matter what the skill set is, you have something to add and contribute, even if it's just creative thought on a technology stance.
Yeah, I agree with that. The key point in these type of events is that they have judges panels and they judge projects. They don't necessarily judge people on the quality of their code or the finishedness of their project. It can be a complete mocked up user interface. A lot of my experiences have been that people end up making WordPress sites because it's easy to show mm-hmm. a prototype or a concept using tools that don't require you to code, and changing is easy. So rapid application development ideas. That's easy to do, easy to show. And then the rest of the time is spent on validating the idea. Is this an actual idea that somebody should work on by doing field research and going out and talking to people? I think they value that. And I think for any real world product development project, this will be probably the majority of the work to make sure that this is something people, you know, the solution is what the world needs, or what is a solution that the world needs for a problem. So you identify a problem, then you find the right solution for that problem. And then making it happen is generally the easier part. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage people, if you're just starting out and you don't have a lot of industry connections, you don't know a lot of developers, designers, managers, recruiters, you don't know any of these people, you can sign up to hackathons, startup weekend, there are other startup events, and just go out there and just do your best. And you will definitely make some connections. And it will eventually help you. I think that you may have to go to a couple of these events to get into your groove, but over time, it's definitely going to help you have more projects in your resume, build up a portfolio, have some connections. I think one thing that I would definitely recommend everybody is if you go to these events or any meetup event and you meet somebody, try to add them to your LinkedIn network. And over time, your LinkedIn network will become your base for doing other research on jobs and technologies, getting recommendations. You have to have a network, right? You have to have a professional network. And I feel that in 2016, your best bet is LinkedIn instead of relying on some of the old school methodologies. What do you think, Kevin?
No, I completely agree. And that's a great point. The hackathons are full of really hungry, passionate people. And it is one of the best places to network and meet people. You can be yourself and you'll walk away with at least 5 new friends every single event. So it's awesome. And I love the advice of not just thinking about meeting people at the event, but trying to build those relationships and networks through the event, but then post the event on LinkedIn or other networks. I think that's an awesome point.
It was so nice talking to you again. And it's so good to see you moving up and doing some creative work and doing some of the sales work. I know you enjoy all of that, talking to customers and being involved at the start of the project. There's something you enjoy. I'm so happy that you're going to be able to do that. I would love for you to come back and talk about, once you've done it a while, talk about what it's like and how you like it. And also, I think I would like to have you on at a later time to talk about some of the very interesting user interface architecture stuff that you've been working on.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor and a privilege, and I definitely enjoy doing this. It's just one of those other things I never thought I'd be or an interview of me would be anything that anyone would be interested in. So it's really cool and it's humbling. So I appreciate you having me, and I'm definitely interested in doing this again and talking about some of the other aspects and things that I'm involved with. So thank you.
You are most welcome, Kevin. So how can people get in touch with you?
Where I've been recommending people getting in touch with me is actually through Twitter. My LinkedIn is kind of grown and it's been a little bit too extreme, but I've been using Twitter a lot as my means for communication. So my Twitter handle is Nice Transition, and I respond to private messages. I don't have that turned off, or even tweeting at me. I'm really quick on responding to it. And based off the different conversations that I have on Twitter, move to other means, but that's my preferred method right now.
Very good. So get in touch with Kevin. You can also tweet at us at Mentoring Devs. That's our Twitter handle. Also, I love getting your emails at us@mentoringdevelopers.com. And go ahead and send your emails. Let us know what you think. Do you have any questions that you want to ask our guests? Do you have any opinions? Do you agree or disagree with the topics? Also, if you go to mentoringdevelopers.com/list, you can sign up for the mailing list, and I talk about some steps to finding success. And I'm also working on some very interesting topics, some of the topics that I think I'll be sending emails about. Something that I've just gotten myself into recently is Salesforce development, which is a very interesting cloud platform, and how to make modern web development or modern websites backed by Salesforce. I think that's something that's pretty interesting. I'd like to talk about that, maybe write about that in emails. And people have been asking me about DevOps. I think there will be some emails about that. And then some of the topics that I'm thinking about are how to get your first interview, or how to get a couple of interviews, how to get your first job, and so on. There's just a lot of good stuff that I have strongly held opinions on, and I've talked to a lot of people, so this is good content. You can have all that if you go to mentoringdevelopers.com/list and sign up. All right, Kevin, such a pleasure to have you.
Oh, thank you.
I hope you enjoyed the show. You can read the highlights and show notes with links on mentoringdevelopers.com/episode and the number of the episode. For example, mentoringdevelopers.com/episode 10 or /episode 25 and so on. Let me know what you think about this episode. If you'd like to ask a question, or if you have a comment, you can email me at us@mentoringdevelopers.com. Oh, and one more thing. I really want you to be part of the show, even if you are a little shy. So go ahead and type mentoringdevelopers.com/join in your web browser. This will open a Google form where you can tell me what topics interest you and what dates and times you're available for about an hour or so. Everyone is welcome, and I would be thrilled to get a chance to talk to you. I'm really looking forward to hearing from you at mentoringdevelopers.com/join.
For show notes and transcripts, visit us at mentoringdevelopers.com.